Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. JJ here, and with us tonight, a special tradition, a tradition like no other. Friends of the Bills, not friends of the pod, AFC East three-round mock draft. We have Steve representing the Miami Dolphins, Brandon representing the New England Patriots, and sadly, Jared couldn't make it, so Dan will be representing the New York Jets, the New Jersey Jets, if we're honest. We're going to do three rounds, trades eligible, and to kick us off here, I'm going to ask Steve, our Miami Dolphins GM, to introduce himself again to the pod. It is April 22nd. We are just a few days away from the first round on Thursday, and let's get this thing going. Steve?
Great. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, JJ and Dan, for inviting me back again this year. Been a Miami Dolphins fan for my entire life, and, you know, the time is now. It's a win-now scenario for the Miami Dolphins, and they say that championships can be won in the trenches, and this draft is going to prove it for the Dolphins.
Until you guys draft Xavier Worthy with your first overall pick in the first round, because McDaniel needs speed on that offense. That's you guys aren't going to be able to resist.
I know.
Brandon?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me back again this year. A little more humbled than I was last year, now that the Patriots have scored the fewest amount of points of all 32 NFL teams, but happy to be here.
And Dan, give us a primer on your Jets.
JJ, there are a lot of needs that the New Jersey Jets have coming into this year's draft. No more prominent to me than punter. So I will be looking early and often at that key special teams position, particularly with this top 10 pick. I'm gonna play it straight for our friend Jared here. We talked, in case you didn't get a chance to hear it, a couple of months back, in the immediate aftermath of the Chiefs winning yet another Super Bowl. We did our first round of Friends of the Pod, Not Friends of the Bills, and Jared humbly went first there. And he really did a meticulous job kind of laying out what the Jets needed, and I'm going to kind of follow his game plan that he laid out then. So hopefully it's going to be a good but not too good draft for the New York Aaron Rodgers.
Excellent. Let's kick this thing off. Dan is going to be running our board here, so you're going to expect to hear him popping in and out as we direct these picks and move down through the simulation.
All right, so for everybody listening at home, we are drafting using the PFF mock draft simulator. There's a lot of good mock draft sims out there. We simply prefer PFF because it allows for some pretty reasonable trade-ups that really do mimic the real-life situations that we think we're going to face in the draft itself here in the next couple of days. And it also gives a variety of kind of tweaking options. We pretty much play all of the settings here right along the middle of the board, except randomness. We tend to tune down a little bit to give you, the listeners, the most realistic kind of outcomes that we think will be available on the board for each of these four AFC East teams. As JJ mentioned, we are allowing trades both up and down. I'll be managing the board in addition to managing the Jets. Brandon will be picking for his AFC East, former AFC East great New England Patriots. And then we've got Steve drafting for the Miami Dolphins. Three rounds and three rounds only to see what we can get done here. Are you guys ready to go? I see thumbs up across the board. All right. So we are going to go ahead and we're going to hop into the draft simulator here. Now, for those of you listening at home, we've got the speed set to super slow to allow for a couple of things. One, the ability to trade up and pause the draft if anyone is interested in doing so. But two, we really want to debate and talk about what the impact of these potential picks could be. JJ and I have been in our bag in draft season for the past few months now, and this is going to give us a chance to dive deeply into some prospects who are probably not attainable for the Bills, but will have an impact in the AFC East should they go to one of our rivals. So if you guys are ready, we are going to get it started here. All right, and no surprise, Chicago Bears go QB. Washington Commanders also go QB. So Brandon, both Caleb Williams and Drake May off the board here for you and your New England Patriots here with pick three. The world, however, my friend, is your oyster with tons of blue chip prospects available. And you also have 5 trade offers for this pick as well. Brandon, where do you want to start here, my friend? I can filter all these by position so you can have a look at the players that are on the big board for a particular position in need that you have, or I can pull up your trades. What do you want me to do?
Can you start by pulling up the trades? Because I think that's the way that I'm leaning right now. And let me know what the best offer is.
Interesting. So you've got a pit. You've got a trade here for number 5 is the first pick here from the Los Angeles Chargers. After that, the New York Giants are interested in trading up with you from pick 6 to pick 3. You've got the Seattle Seahawks who want to come up from 16 to 6. The Ravens want to come up from 30. And then you've got the Cleveland Browns who don't have a first round pick this year. They're picking in the second round, thanks to the Deshaun Watson trade that just keeps on giving. So they want to trade up all the way from 54 to 3, which I don't think has been done in NFL history. The amount of capital that it would take to go from there to a top 10 pick is unreal to me. So, Brandon, what do you want to evaluate here first? Now, how this works is you can select the team you want to trade with. You will work the compensation that you think is fair, and then we'll take a couple of cracks, 4 cracks to be specific at making a trade. If the trade is rejected on the simulator 4 times in a row, then the trade is dead and you got to pick a player.
Okay. All right. So I'm interested in this 5th pick from the Chargers. So what do I have to give up to make that possible?
Well, let's see. So I'm right down here, and this is great podcasting for all the folks at home that are audio only. Right here, percentage trade acceptance on both sides once teams add picks. So you want the 5 pick for the 3 pick. And this is, you know, a lopsided pick. So you're going to want to throw something else in there. So you've got a second rounder at 37. You've got the ability to trade for a future first rounder from them as well. You could also select a player. May I humbly suggest also asking for their 2025 first round pick and see what that does.
Yes, let's see what that does.
83% chance to be accepted. My friend, I think you could also maybe throw in a 3rd round pick this year too. Want to try that?
The 69?
Yep.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
It goes all the way down to 39%. Not impossible to get it by, but still. And I think the reason here is because you're really trading a high premium pick for a high premium pick. Interesting that they want to draft up this high with a QB in lock. My guess is they want Marvin Harrison Jr. before the Cardinals have a chance to draft.
So go ahead and hit offer trade, see what happens.
Okay. And you have an accepted trade. So the trade on the books right now is New England giving up the 3. They get the 5 and 69 this year, and they get a future first-round pick from the Los Angeles Chargers. All right, so resuming the draft. Let's see what they end up doing with this. Malik Nabers. Man. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. here going to the Cardinals at 4. So now you are back on the clock here. You still have Rome Odunze here. You still have Joe Alt, who is the premier tackle in this draft. You got a lot of options here, and you also have some trade back potential as well, still here at pick 5. What do you want to do here, Brandon?
I really think we need that help at tackle. There's a lot of talent in this class at wide receiver and quarterback. So what I want to do here is take Joe Alt with a 5th and see where we go from there.
Dope. All right, so our first official pick is in, and Joe Alt is making his way to the New England Patriots. JJ, I personally hate that pick because it's really good. And you could argue that at that spot, Alt might be a little overvalued, but when you look at how decrepit that New England offensive line was last season, to get a blue chip tackle prospect that's going to anchor the left side of your offensive line for years to come. I mean, as a Bills fan, we have struggled in recent years to come up with a consistent pass rush, and having a guy like Alt to go up against 2 times a year just makes that job harder.
So, not to mention, yeah, my thought process, we just re-signed Onwenu to a very expensive 3-year, I think $57 million deal. And Sandra Bullock said it best, but you got to protect the blind side. So, and Wendu's great on the right. We need somebody on the left for whoever's going to be under center. throwing balls to KJ Osborne, our new top receiver.
Fantastic. And you still have the opportunity, as you have said, to kind of jam around a little bit and find something viable later on at wide receiver and the skill positions as well. So, no, I think a pick well made. JJ, what were your thoughts on that one?
Just that, you know, I'm frustrated that the Patriots in this simulation not only get the absolute best offensive lineman the entire draft, but then they also get a first round next year and a third round this year. That's just like the rich get richer. Just stack that up with your Super Bowl, you know, victories.
Yeah, and this is the thing that, and Brandon, this goes back to when we did our initial Friends of the Pod segment together. Like, this has been something that I've been harping on for a while. New England's got so many needs. To bring in a top three QB prospect right now feels a little bit like being a good steward of resources. Trading back, still potentially being able to get your QB of the future, and develop more and have more kind of darts to throw at the dartboard as far as skill position players go, I think is the way that New England should go. I mean, ideally, Brandon, you guys would never have a pick this high again anyway if you're doing your job correctly. So trading back and accumulating more assets, to me, is striking while the iron is hot. So I love that, and I love / hate the pick of Joe Alt. So let's see. What happened here? So we are on the New Jersey Jets. The New York Giants selected Kenyon Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo. Excellent prospect. Brock Bowers comes off the board to Tennessee. Tackle Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, who's got inside-outside versatility, comes off the board to the Atlanta Falcons, which is a little weird because the Falcons really need edge help desperately. But they go offensive tackle here, which, okay. Byron Murphy, this feels a little high for him. Defensive interior player from Texas goes number 9 to the Chicago Bears. The Bears are a place, as we all know, if you follow any kind of mock draft simulations or mock draft reports, is where a lot of teams have Rome Odunze going. This guy's comp to me is Keenan Allen, and he is sitting here at number 10 for a team that desperately needs a number 2 wide receiver and is also in win-now mode in the New York Jets. So for me, guys, I'm going Rome Odunze for the Jets. Bowers is off the board, not an option. Could go tackle here. The next best tackle on here is Washington's Troy I'm always mess up this guy's name.
Fatanu.
Thank you. Troy Fatanu. You also have Fashunu out of Penn State and J.C. Latham, both available on the board. 10 is probably a little high for both of those guys. And again, this is a squad that's in win-now mode. When you have Garrett Wilson and Rome Odunze on either side of the ball, Rome Odunze, he just catches everything like a magnet that's thrown his way. Aaron Rodgers is going to love a target like this. And I would argue that even Nathaniel Hackett could not mess up a duo like Wilson and Odunze. So here we go. Jets taking Odunze with the number 10 pick. Thought about their guys trading back for a second round pick because the Jets, as we know, as a result of the Rodgers trade, do not have one in this year's draft. So they're not going to pick again until pick 72 in the third round. But to me, all is well with that. They get a premier wideout, and regardless of what happens this season in New York, should everybody get fired and it be a disaster of a season, they've got two great foundational building blocks at the skill positions to build off of next year, in addition to Breece Hall. So to me, it's a win all the way around. All right, Steve, my friend, we are here at the Miami Dolphins, and I absolutely hate all of the options you have available to you. This is like, if this board falls this way to you, this is your most ideal situation because you've got needs in both trenches. You also need wide receiver depth, and edge couldn't hurt either. And man, do you have some options here. So I've got the board and the top 5 up here. You've got Johnny Newton from Illinois available. You've got Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama, A.D. Mitchell, and Brian Thomas Jr., both available at wide receiver. And then my Creed Humphrey of this draft, Graham Barton, the do-everything offensive lineman out of Duke. You also have 4 trade options available to you too, Steve. So how do you want to play this?
Well, first and foremost, can I just say it absolutely pains me to see the 2 previous picks come off the board right before the Dolphins.
Fatanu, Fashanu, and Mims, Amarius Mims.
Yeah. Wow. Like, you know, those, when I think about, you know, building in the trenches, like, those were the three guys that, you know, I'm like, all right, well, one of them dropped, you know, a couple of them just wasn't there. So I think I'm going to pivot a little bit and look on the defensive side. Trying to zoom in here a little bit.
Do you need a sort?
You want me to sort my position here?
You can just sort through for, is it defensive line?
Absolutely. Yep. I'll go defensive interior, and I will add edge to that too.
Perfect.
There you go. So these are your top defensive interior linemen and edge players available here. I mean, you got two rock solid options here on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy that you're going to pass on a guy like Graham Barton, if that is in fact where you decide to go.
So I'm looking at Dallas Turner here at edge. Why? Just looking at the PFF simulator average draft pick, why he fell down so far if he's at 12.
It's a little bit of randomness.
Okay.
And those tackles went higher, even in the sim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you flip back over to the tackle?
Absolutely. You want offensive tackle?
Yeah.
You got it. We got OT, and I'll throw. You also have a need at guard, so I'm going to throw interior line up here as well.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The embarrassment of riches at this position. JJ, look at all that beef, man.
I know. I love it. I just am salivating.
So, just for all of you at home, while Steve is mulling his options here, he's got his pick of Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon, Zach Frazier, who, listen, on PFF is ranked 33rd, average draft position of 41.1. To me, Zach Frazier is a first-round talent. I think he's a little bit undersold for his versatility at guard. He is not just a straight-up center candidate, and he, to me, is Creed Humphrey clone. Like, Zach Frazier out of West Virginia is incredible. Jordan Morgan, traitsy kid out of Arizona. Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma, available. And I think, honestly, you can make an argument that any one of these folks, Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, Frazier, Morgan, or Guyton, maybe this is high for Morgan, but you could make an argument that the other four, absolutely suitable based on your team needs here.
Looking at everything, I want to go Graham Barton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're minting this. It is official.
Yeah.
Oh, what a pick.
You know, I think when you look at some of his versatility on the line, we need that. You know, I think what I'm looking at here, positions at center, but can also play guard if he needs to. And the reality is, who knows what injuries are going to bring to our offensive line yet again. And so just trying to pick kind of best guy that could have some versatility there. So that's what I'm going with.
Love it. I love it. And I think, too, if Armstead can't make it through a full season, which he hasn't in a while, Barton can be your guy that flashes to the outside.
Right.
He can start immediately for the squad at guard. He can pop in at center, depending on what happens there for you guys. This is just a Swiss Army knife of an offensive lineman. And he will serve your Miami Dolphins well.
Yes.
All right, JJ. Okay. Now is the time. And you see who is on the board.
Yes.
off at the top. All right.
So here's my justification for what I'm about to say. I know that all of Bills Mafia would be like, oh my gosh, Brian Thomas Jr. has fallen. 228 is available. The somewhat, you know, agreed upon fourth best wide receiver on the board is there. And yet I am somewhat perplexed by this because I do want the Buffalo Bills to have a third round pick, one. Two, the fact that Brian Thomas fell tells me that not a lot of wide receiver talent after the top three went. And so that means there's more available in the second. Can you scroll up real quick and let me just kind of give a quick synopsis of who
among the wide receivers has gone on the round list to the left.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's just the top three and AD just Mitchell.
AD Mitchell, yeah. So with that, let me see the trade downs, because that means that
AD Mitchell went to the Vikings. Yeah,
only four of the wide receiver talents in the whole draft have gone in the first round instead of the eight that they're expecting. And so let me look at the trades.
Baltimore at 30.
Will they give me their 62 or their 93? 60. For 28, yeah.
Let's see. They are not going to give you 62.
What about 93?
You got a 59% chance at 93. Do you want to throw in, even though we're not going to use it in this draft, do you want to throw in another fifth rounder maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, doesn't do too much craziness to it.
Yeah,
all right.
Let's offer that.
All right, so we stay in the first round, but we add a much-needed third-round pick here. So let's see what happens. And they have accepted. So the Buffalo Bills will be taking picks 30, 93, and 130 in this draft, and the Ravens will trade up two spots to get Troy Franklin. Lad McConkey goes. Oh, my God.
So I get a third rounder and Brian Thomas Jr. Send it.
Send it. Oh, my God. There is no way draft day works out like this.
No.
Absolutely not. But I will absolutely take it. All right, my friend. Brandon, we have now hit the second round. Zach Frazier, sadly off the board. Edise Isaac from Edge from Penn State. Tyler Guyton also go. Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey before Brian Thomas Jr., JJ. Oh, my. What a steal.
That's what a randomness.
Steal. What a steal. I've said it to you. I think Ladd McConkey is probably the pick for the Bills in the first round, and I think they go to try to get their X in the second. Or even trading up into the third. I think they like McConkey a lot and his separation ability. But damn, Brian Thomas Jr. and a third rounder, freaking mint that.
It's also interesting that the Ravens in the simulation traded up to get Troy Franklin because there's like, and I know it's lying season, but there's all this rumbling out there that Brandon Bean and the Bills brass is very high on Troy Franklin.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Interesting to see how much of this actually plays out in real life here. All right, so now we're at pick 34 for our New England Patriots expert, Brandon. All right, Brandon, how do you want to play this, sir? You've got the ability here to take QB of the future. You could also address offensive line again, should you need to. And then you've got the ability to tackle some skill positions here as well. Again, the world is your oyster, sir, and you've got two trade options available to you.
So I know what I'm going to do here. I see Bo Nix on the board. He's going to learn behind Jacoby Brissett for the next year. I'll remind everybody listening on the pod that Brissett was originally drafted by the Patriots in 2016. He's coming back on a one-year deal. We need a quarterback for the future, so we're going to be taking Bo Nix here.
Love it. I love it. And if this plays out this way, on draft day for you, I mean, what a coup for the New England Patriots to get offensive tackle, their QB of the future, and still have so many bullets on day two and day three of the draft to really augment their skill positions here. Really, I mean, great stuff, Brandon. God, I hope it doesn't work out this neat and tidy for you on draft day. All right, so now we are back to our good friend, Steve. All right, Steve, you're picking at 55 here. And as of right now, this is your last pick in the draft because the Dolphins do not have a third rounder this year. You do have one trade option available to you. So what do you want to do? You want to make a pick or you want to get some more bullets for the gun here?
Let's take a look at the edge players that are meeting.
My friend knows exactly what he wants. I love it.
Well, the reality is Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are, you know, no go for, you know, much of the next season. And so you need somebody to support there. You know, a little bit younger, come in right away and just go.
No, I agree. And so much you guys need wide receiver depth too, but so much talent has come off the board. Leggett's off the board, went to Atlanta. Ricky Pearsall goes to Las Vegas. Tight end, Jatavion Sanders from Texas goes to the Saints. Yeah, I mean, Roman Wilson goes to the Steelers. Malachi Corley goes to the Browns. I agree. I think it'd be a reach for a wide receiver here. And I got to tell you, you got one of my favorite players in the draft sitting staring you right in the face in Marshawn Nyland from Western Michigan. But you also have Jonah Ellis out of Utah on the board. Chris Braswell, Xavier Thomas is there. And then Jalix Hunt out of Houston Christian. So 55. I think you could make an argument for Nyland, Braswell, or Ellis based on draft value here. But what are you thinking you want to do here?
I think Nealon's the way to go.
Absolutely. God, you get two of my favorite players in this draft, and Graham Barton and Marshawn Nyland. Oh, my God. May it not work out this well for you. So, you know, Steve, interesting, you decided to attack the trenches there as opposed to going for skill positions. I have a sneaking suspicion that McDaniel can't help himself and is going to draft a wide receiver with one of your first two picks. What do you think the likelihood is that the Dolphins will actually realize their deficiency in the trenches and go the way you went?
I mean, the reality is we have two phenomenal wide receivers in Waddle and Hill. You know, Hill coming off what could have been a record-setting year in many ways. But then right behind them from a depth chart perspective, you have guys that can fulfill different roles within their team. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up draft depth chart here real quick.
Yeah, you've got guys like Braxton Berrios.
Right. You know, and Braxton Berrios, River Craft, like, you know, they're kind of specialty guys depending on the setup and everything. Having Jonnu Smith at tight end, getting him for this year, I think is going to help out tremendously. And so to me, just waiting, I think there's enough there to keep you moving in a good, positive direction. You know, and I think, too, Alec Ingold is going to be a very interesting player for next year for us as well. Just thinking about that extra protection for Tua, knowing that if one of our starting guys gets injured, he's going to have to help block a little bit to continue to do that. But in terms of the wide receiver, when you look at the final game against Kansas City, granted, you know, everything that could have went wrong the last 3-4 games went wrong for the Dolphins. But they were exploited in the trenches on both sides. I mean, Kansas City just dominated them. And to me, like, I just don't see how you can overlook that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is valid. It's something that JJ and I for the Bills have been harping on for years to build kind of in the trenches. And I think they've been less than successful for the past few seasons, with the exception of the offensive line this past year. So no, you can never go wrong throwing premium picks at big uglies. Yeah.
You know, and I feel like a broken record last year at this time talking about the draft. You know, same thing, got to protect Tua, got to win it in the trenches because of injuries. And guess what happened? Injuries yet again, the trenches. And so just keep rebuilding. You got your guys, you know, you got your star cast. Now just go win it. And that's going to be done to me, offensive and defensive line.
Absolutely. And cheap contracts in the trenches as you're about to pay your franchise QB, I'll assume, in Tua. I mean, it never hurts to have talent in the trenches on really affordable contracts. So two great picks for you, even if you don't have another third rounder coming to you. All right, JJ, the Bills are on the clock, and I've pulled up all positions I assume you're going to want to look at, which is wide receiver, OT, and defensive interior.
Well, you didn't pull up edge, so you failed. No, I'm just kidding.
I couldn't read your mind. I'm so sorry.
You could not. No, it's all right. Yeah, I just wanted to get a look at. So,
I mean, do you want safety here too?
Sure.
And we're scrolling. Yeah, Xavier Worthy is sitting her down.
I know.
So terrible.
Well, as you guys were talking about the Dolphins building the trenches, I was just like, well, maybe the Bills are just going to try to get a Ferrari out of the garage with Xavier Worthy or Jermaine Burton. Although I heard some worrying things about Jermaine Burton. It might be a kind of personality problem. So
Yeah, we're not going to go with, you know, Xavier Worthy or Tez Walker or any of those deep threats. I think the pick here for the Bills is going to end up, they're going to probably turn to the trenches. And so I'm going to go ahead, if you want to scroll up to the top of the list. I'm going to take Jonah Ellis out of Utah, defensive end. We know the Bills really like Utah. They know a little bit about him from drafting Dalton Kincaid. And so I think that's a good pick. They're going to start to lean towards the trenches now that they have Brian Thomas Jr.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And here on the board, Chris Braswell, Edgerrin Cooper go right after that pick. A couple other noteworthy picks here. Christian Haynes, guard out of Connecticut, which a lot of Bills fans like, goes to Washington in the third round. Xavier Worthy, third round to Arizona. All right, so now, Brandon, you get to pick back-to-back, my friend, 68 and 69. What would you like me to... You have no trade options, at least none that are being offered to you. So what do you want to look at here? You've got your QB, you've got your tackle. You want to start looking at some skill positions here in the third round?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking a wide receiver here.
And you've got good options on the board, man. You really do. Devontae Walker out of North Carolina, Javon Baker, who is one of my favorite pass catchers here in this draft. Jalen McMillan out of Washington. You've got Jamari Thrash out of Louisville. Man, you got some real options here in the third round. What do you want to do?
I think I'll just take the best option in Jermaine Burton. And then, If you don't mind, we're going to switch over to, once we pick up him, we're going to pick up.
What do you want to look at next?
Who's the best player on the board?
Best player on the board right now is Kieran Amegdeje out of Yale.
Okay. Thank you. I just asked that question so I could hear you pronounce the last name.
I did it okay.
You did pretty good. Oh, wow.
You want to double dip a QB and take Spencer Rattler, who's still on the board?
No, I don't. I do not want to do that.
I mean, what have you addressed? You've addressed tackle, QB, and wide receiver. Yep. I would argue that you guys also maybe have an edge need too, though I don't know how good the value is here in the third round.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, and your guys' offensive line was so bad last year, it almost might not even hurt just to put through multiple bullets there. You've got Cooper Beebe and Mason McCormick available, Kansas State and South Dakota State, respectively. I really like BB as an interior guy. You guys need help all over that line. Mason McCormick also has some inside-outside versatility on the offensive line, too. Two of my favorite players, ignore the 93 and 95 draft rankings from PFF. These are guys who could easily go in the third round.
Okay. Why don't we throw a dart on Mason McCormick?
Yeah. I love these South Dakota State kids, man. All FCS all the time. That's a hell of a draft for you, sir. All right, and now we're back to the Jets, who have addressed wide receiver and still have multiple deficiencies in other areas. So we've got tackle, defensive interior I want to kick around with. I'm not so worried about their secondary or their defense. Some interior help would be nice, but to me, it's all about the offense for the New Jersey Jets. Now, I know they've done some things in the offseason with the offensive line and trying to bolster that, but a lot of it, one-year contracts, rental talent, injury-prone talent, they're going to need some young, affordable depth here. So I'm going to go with, we've got a couple of tackles available here. We've got Amegdeje out of Yale, who's available. We have Brandon Coleman, TCU, Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, who I've mocked a couple of times to the Bills in certain situations. And then after that, it's looking really, really thin at tackle. BB could be an interesting option for them too, especially depending on the health of Elijah Vera Tucker. I am going to go here, though, with Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. I just think his hand fighting is really advanced. I like the style of offensive line skills and traits that they try to teach at Notre Dame, I think you can never go wrong with taking an offensive lineman from Notre Dame. And Fisher, to me, has a ton of upside and honestly could go earlier on day two in the second round. So I'm going to go ahead and with the final pick for the New Jersey Jets, I'm going to take one Blake Fisher. All right, so now we are moving on to the final pick in our three-round mock draft. Number 93, savvily traded for by J.J. Brandon Bean to get back into the third round here. All right, so J.J., what do you want me to pull up here for you with our final pick?
Just running back.
Running back? Damn!
And safety.
Okay, that's better. Okay. We can still pod together. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm confused. What happened to Jordan Poyer?
What do you mean?
You need a safety.
Yeah, no, he's going to play 11 games for you guys this year. Yeah. That's going to be great. Yeah.
Don't sweat it. Enjoy. As an aside, like I have to just make this tangent go. Jordan Poyer was on the Centered on Buffalo podcast with Eric Wood. And one of Eric Wood's bonus questions for him is, okay, it's like week 15, you and the, you know, Dolphins are up in Buffalo in the snow, and Josh Allen splits a seam up the middle, you know, running the ball, and you are alone. What do you do? And I thought that Poyer handled the question famously. I mean, he said, I'm going to get him to the ground. I don't know how, and I don't want that situation, but I will get him to the ground somehow. All right. Absolutely. So, but that aside, the reason I wanted you to bring up safeties and running back is because I think in this round for this draft, for the Bills, if they can check the box of defensive linemen and premier wide receiver, their next biggest need is the safety position, even though they re-signed, Taylor Rapp and Mike, yep. And they signed Mike Edwards away from the Chiefs, even though with those two signings for starting safety caliber players, I think they need to plan for the future because that's a Rapp's contract is a 3-year. That's really kind of a 1-year, and Mike Edwards is a 1-year minimum value. So I love Dadrian Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech for safety. He's kind of that deep kind of, center fielder type safety. I like Cam Kitchens, even though his testing was not so great. There's a lot of safeties in this kind of range in the draft that I think would be good. Sione Vaki might be able to play running back for you. Cole Bishop out of Utah. Do we double dip in Utah? I know that that's your boy, Dan.
Cole Bishop's my number one safety in this draft. This ranking of 132 is absurd on PFF.
Malik Mustafa as well, I don't think is ever going to be there this late in the third round. So I say all that, but I will say I trust the process with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott being able to get defensive backfield players in later rounds. And in this reality, the Bills have an extra, I think, 3-4s now with that trade I made. And so we're going to go with Braylon Allen, running back out of Wisconsin.
Oh my God, you are drunk at the wheel, sir.
No. All right. Nope. All right. Because they need a pass protecting giant tank of a running back. They don't have that right now in the backfield. And he's going to be playing every snap. Safeties only get thrown at every so often.
Oh, okay. All right. I am forced to click on that. So there it is. All right. Let's analyze here what we did. All right. So full results, your results. Let me see my first round. All right. So not bad. Brandon, your takeaways from this draft, great trade down. You solidify the future of that offensive line with Joe Alt. You solidify the future of QB with Bo Nix potentially, but also because you've taken him in the second round, a la Will Levis last season in Tennessee. He also, no pressure to start. He can play behind Jacoby Brissett and figure stuff out. You addressed skill position, and you addressed, what was the other position you nabbed?
I forget. It's in full results if you want to scroll up.
See.
We got an edge.
Yep, you end up getting edge. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Brandon, how are you feeling about your draft? How would you feel if this is the way it shook out for your boys on draft day?
I don't know. Because I think the Patriots have so many needs. It's a really difficult question that I'm glad that I'm not in a realistic position to have to answer, because I think these guys are drafting for their jobs, to be quite honest. And if they don't get it right, then, you know, the coaching personnel is probably going to change again. And so
you think one and done for Mayo?
I think if this year ends up being a total bust like last year, then I think that's a real possibility. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, even as I traded down, like I had the question of whether or not I should have taken Marvin Harrison Jr. Or gone for, you know, Drake May if he was still on the board, or even J.J. McCarthy. You know, like the quarterback position is obviously very important. But I also feel like very rarely does a first round quarterback hit. And so there's just so many needs, you know, trading down, taking the best tackle with Joe Alt, with the fifth overall pick, I feel was a big win. And then, you know, Bo Nix has a lot of going for him in terms of accuracy and decision making. I think he's a really smart player. And if we can get the ball to the hands of KJ Osborne and other receivers in New England, then I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think solid all the way around. I would hate this draft if it actually came out in real life. Yeah. Steve, made the most out of your two picks. Again, building in the trenches. I love the Nealon pick and I love the Graham Barton pick, right? I know you didn't get a chance to draft a third round, but what's the type? What would have been your next pick for this squad if you had had a third round bullet in the chamber? Would you have gone skill position at wide receiver, or would you have gone somewhere else?
I'd gone wide receiver. I would. I think because there's potential, like in terms of the cliff and everything, in terms of talent, and third round, I think is where you could still get some really good value. And find some good talent there. Not saying rounds 4 through 7 you can't. But you know, we addressed offensive line, we addressed the defensive line. Now, you know, let's see what's out there as far as wide receiver is concerned. Or do you look again to draft maybe a linebacker, you know, some, you know, something to help fill another void, depending on best available.
Yep, absolutely. And then JJ, oh man, loved your draft, except for Braylon Allen, that one, man, in the third round. You are making the Zach Moss pick look really good there, but I appreciate the rationale that you put behind it. Braylon Allen over all those safeties, though, really?
So, yes, and this is why. Because the Bills have so much day three ammunition, I'm just taking a flyer that DBs will be more available. Because Braylon Allen, for me, is a top five running back in the draft. And I think that he's a talent who he's basically the exact body type and skill set that they've needed to complement James Cook for the past 2 years. And they don't have to mess around with, you know, Ezekiel Elliott on a 1-year deal or anything like that. They can bring somebody in on a cost controlled deal, and he can even take over for Cook, you know, if they chose not to re-sign him, as they didn't with Devin Singletary being it's an undervalued position in the league during free agency.
Yeah. No, I mean, the rationale works for sure. All the way around, rock solid draft. So we didn't get a chance to talk about the Jets draft too much, but I think just nabbing Odunze in and of itself, and then a rock solid tackle on Blake Fisher, I think New Jersey fans would be ecstatic at that. Again, Odunze, my comp is Keenan Allen. Aaron Rodgers could use a nice young target that just catches everything thrown his way. It would take a ton of pressure off of Garrett Wilson. So all the way around, I think, scary stuff. Teams in the AFC East would get markedly better if this is how the draft would end up being, for sure. But yeah, crazy stuff. Guys, listen, we're wrapping up here. I really appreciate everybody hopping on to do our what has become an annual tradition of Friends of the Pod, not Friends of the Bills, AFC East mock draft. As JJ noted earlier, we are days away from the draft. So this episode will be posting on a Tuesday. And then if you tune back in on Sunday evening post-draft, you can get our breakdown of not just the Bills, but all of the AFC East picks that ended up going down in 3 days of the draft. So a little bit of a scheduling shift here for Buffalo Bread, but we appreciate you sticking with us. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, and as always, go Bills.